Our topic today is our giving God. We do have a responsive reading, and this is taken from various passages: Matthew, James, Ephesians, 2 Peter, and John. Father, as we gather here today, we're just reminded that we don't have anything that we didn't receive from you. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. Your mercies are enduring. They are forever. They are new every morning. They are continuous. And they really are like the flow of a mighty river. Father, today, we just pray, remind us just how generous you are toward us. And may our hearts turn to you in gratitude, in blessing, and in turn in being able to bless others. Take now your word, we pray, and use it at our point of need. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you're among those who like to take notes and fill in the blanks and have something to take with you later, then now would be the time probably to get that out. But I was just sitting there one day, and it just hit me again just how great our God is. You know, we think of God as a giving God. We talk about God as a giving God and all of that, and we know that everything comes from him, and we certainly believe that in a general sense. But I think a lot of times we do. We just get caught up in life, and we get caught up in the day-to-day, and sometimes we start focusing on the negative, and we wonder why this didn't happen or why that didn't happen or why this other thing did happen that we hoped wouldn't happen and all of that. And blessings come and are almost unnoticed by us, you know, and answers to prayer come and we almost pass over, and we get so busy sometimes asking that I think we forget to say thanks when the answers do come and so forth. But just in the day-to-day of life, just how great is the giving of our God. And so today it's more of a devotional message, but let's look at a few things about our Heavenly Father. And we'll start with this number one here. In his very nature, our God is a giver and a provider. In his very nature. It begins with him making everything. And then within that creation, he provided for everything. When he made the fish, he provided for them to have food and a habitat. When he made the birds, he provided for them to have food and a habitat. When he made the land animals, he provided, built into all of that, for every single thing to have a habitat and to have provision. Every single thing in God's creation, God from the very beginning has made provision for. Isn't that an awesome thought? Think about it. And we read those Psalms. God feeds the lions. God feeds the birds. God feeds, and of course, Jesus, God's Son, he focused on these things. He said, look at the birds. They don't store in barns, and yet your Father feeds them all. And he was talking about this very thing, about God meeting needs and meeting the daily needs and all of that. It is right in his nature. And also as Father, the big thing about Father is fathers provide. The big thing in the service for Dick Rosenberry was that his children said, Norma said he was a great husband and a great provider. And his oldest son, Richard, said he always labored. He wanted us to be self-sufficient. He wanted us to have the tools we needed to succeed in life. He wanted us to know how to conduct business and how to manage our finances and how to take up for ourselves and how to have the right education for the right thing so that we could succeed in the thing that we wanted. He wanted, in other words, he was a father, and he wanted us to be provided for. Not just what he could provide them then, that day, out of hand and out of his earnings, but provided for in ways that they could then provide for themselves, and in turn, one day, provide for others. And so just in the figure of Father, our Father who art in heaven, just in that name alone, we have the whole idea of God as the Father and the Provider. He is not a Santa Claus. We should not ever, ever treat our Heavenly Father like a Santa Claus, like somebody that just we go to just to ask. And that's the whole wrong spirit. But we do go to Him as a Father, because a Father knows what our true need is, and our Father will always see that every true need is met. Can I hear an amen? And if he didn't, he wouldn't be a father. And so when we call him Father, that in itself denotes the fact that we know who he is, and we know that we can trust him, and we know that he is going to provide for us. So in his very nature, God is a giver and a provider. It says he gives us all good things to enjoy and adds no sorrow to it. He is the giver of every good gift. The trouble that comes into our lives, that is a direct or indirect consequence of sin. But even that is going to all be taken away one day. But even in the midst of the trials, and even in the midst of the difficulties, and even as marred and imperfect as this world is today, yet there isn't a day goes by but what we don't receive some good gift from his hand. Not a day. He is the giving God. Number two, our God gives freely and abundantly. I almost left off the word abundantly, lest it obscure that first word, freely. Our God gives freely. He doesn't put a whole lot of conditions on it. He doesn't put a whole lot of red tape on it. He gives freely. As I read some of these verses in the Greek, I realized some of the word, you know, we read a word like, we were talking last week or whenever it was, there's three different Greek words for love, and we translate them all love. So we read love and we think it all means the same thing. But in that language, they mean three totally different things. And so giving, sometimes it just means give. But there are words in some of these verses where it's translated give, just like in the other place, but in the Greek it's got a little prefix tacked on with the idea of freely giving. It's built right into the verb. And our God gives freely. He gives generously. He gives with an open hand. I'm going to be referring to a hymn later on, written by Annie Flint. I was reading up on her a little bit. She once said, "The mouth is mine, but the hand is his, and it's never empty." That's my Heavenly Father. And he gives freely. He gives freely. And may we also give freely. What does it say up there? Matthew 10:8. "Freely you have received, freely give." Do you know who said that? Do you know who he said it to, and do you know in what situation he said it? Jesus said it to his disciples as he was commissioning them, not at the end of Matthew, but when he sent them out to go to the villages and to heal the sick and cleanse the lepers and proclaim salvation, when he sent them to evangelize the nation of Israel, when he sent them, in that day, he said, "Freely you have received, freely give." My Heavenly Father gives freely, and therefore I should give freely. And if he gives freely and I don't give freely, we've got a mismatch here. Number three, God channels his blessings to us, his children. Now, when I say his children, I'm not talking about all mankind. I'm talking about his children that are washed in the blood. Do you remember that song, Are You Washed in the Blood? If you're not washed in the blood, you're not his child. You're his creation, but you're not his child. I'm talking about those who are in relationship with him through the blood, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the offices of the Holy Spirit, through his Holy Word, who actually have a relationship with him, whose sins have been cleansed, whose sins have been forgiven, who have been born again, who do have the gift of eternal life. That is the sense in which I use that word here. God channels his blessings to us, his children, through grace. What was that verse that was read a while ago? For it is by grace ye have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Every blessing, not just salvation, every blessing he channels to me as his child is through grace. And that grace was purchased by Jesus when he hung on that cross, which is what we will be commemorating in the communion today. It is by grace, and his grace has no limits. And because his grace has no limits, therefore his giving does not have to have any limits on it either. He doesn't have to say, well, you've been blessed too much. Anybody here ever been blessed too much? No. We might have been given more than we ought to have had from somebody else because of our own selfish nature or irresponsibility or not being able to manage it or not being ready for it, but we can't be too blessed. Anything that comes from the Lord and is really from his hand and in his will and in answer to prayer and that we're truly grateful for and acknowledge him for and honor him for, we cannot be blessed too much. And so every single one of them comes to us by grace. To me, one of the saddest things is that there's just that little thing in there. We think, well, if we just worked a little harder, if we were just in church a little more, if we did a little more of this or a little more of that, maybe the Lord would bless us more. Let me tell you something. Every single blessing the Lord gives you every day is simply by his grace. It isn't because of what you did or didn't do. Did you hear me? Now, disobedience can bring reproof, disobedience can bring discipline, and all of that. But even when we're under discipline, he still feeds us. How about you, mom and dad? Your child might be on restriction, but do you still feed them? If you're a good parent, you do. Do you still see that they have shoes on their feet? Do you say, I'm not going to buy you any more clothes. You're going to have to walk around in tattered rags because you disobeyed me. We don't do that, do we? Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will not your heavenly Father, and we could put in brackets, who is perfect, give good gifts to his children? His blessings come by grace, not what I can do, not what I can produce. I want to do and I want to produce for him out of love, out of devotion, out of gratitude, out of all of those things. But the things that he gives me are not based on those things. They are based solely on his grace, and his grace has no limits. Can I hear an amen on that one? Amen. It's a fact. Number four. Because our God is so generous, no true need of ours will ever go unmet. Now, having talked about how generous he is, will he withhold certain things for a time? Because he knows, just as we know sometimes as parents, that we're not quite ready for it. We're not going to know quite what to do with it, or he can see further down the road and knows that that would actually be harmful for us. Of course, but he's not going to withhold anything that is truly good for us in his view of things, And he's not going to let any true need go unmet. Some things are wants and some things are needs. My dad used to talk about the little girl. She said, I asked God for 100 doll babies. And the person said, and did you get them? She said, no. He said, I didn't need 100 doll babies. But God will not withhold any true need from us. Every true need will always be met. Any faith missionary can tell you there were times when they may have been scraping the bottom of the barrel, and I know it happened with my parents. There were months when we were in Cuba where the total, of course, money bought more back then, but even then, where the whole month's income was maybe under $300, and we had to eat cornmeal mush and stuff like that day after day after day. But let me tell you something, no true need ever went unmet. And God worked, and God did wonderful things. And I think back to those, and to me, those are some of the most precious times. We were dependent on God. We didn't have a lot, but we had enough. Is enough enough? For some people, nothing's ever enough. It says in another place, having therefore clothing and raiment and stuff, having raiment and having a roof over our head, let us therewith be content. I haven't heard any prosperity preachers preaching on that verse anytime recently. But remember, blessings are more than just material. Don't get hung up just on the material. Blessings of friendship, blessings of health, blessings of His divine presence. What price can you put on any of that? Number five, we have nothing and give nothing. Some of us, you know, we like to think, yeah, I give. We have nothing and we give nothing that we did not first receive from Him. So if I give of my time, if I give of my knowledge, if I give of my expertise, if I give of the gospel, if I give friendship, if I give any of that, anything that I give, tangible or intangible, can only be because I received it first from Him. Let that heart stop beating for about 15 minutes and see how much you'll be able to give anybody. So, anything we have and anything we give is because that nothing, there's nothing that we have or give. Nothing. There goes our pride. Oh, I gave. Wonderful. Thank God that God blessed you enough that you could give. And may the Lord multiply it, and may the Lord use it, and may the Lord bless it many times over and bring many people to Himself. But there is no room for pride because there is nothing I can say, nothing I can do, and nothing I can give except what He gave me first. Yesterday, one of the songs played at the service was Andre Crouch's My Tribute. To God be the glory. Why? Because it came from Him to begin with. Hallelujah. Number six. In view of our God's generosity to us, we need to develop a generous spirit. Tell you what. You ever heard of an oxymoron? Two opposites used together, a contradiction of terms. How about a grumpy Christian? What do you think? Huh? How about a stingy Christian? My God is so generous, and He opens His hand so many times, And then when it's my turn to give, do I really have to? Some people, you almost have to pry their hands open to get them to give. Come on. I didn't say it was anybody here, but... No, I didn't. But we could know somebody like that. Or we could be somebody like that. On occasion. On occasion. But my God gives with an open and a free hand. Therefore, and since I don't have anything I did not receive from him, what right do I have to consider anything that is mine as mine? I don't. And even if I give it, I'm giving it only because he gave it to me and allowed me. He allowed it, let's put it this way, he allowed it to pass through my hand. You bring some book bags and some school supplies for those backpack blessings. The Lord simply allowed that to pass through your hands. Amen. You put $500 in the offering plate to help our missionaries. The Lord simply allowed that to pass through your hands. And thank God for it. Amen. But since he's been so generous with us, oh, we've got to develop a generous spirit. May the Lord give us a generous spirit with everyone. You say, well, maybe that person didn't deserve it. Well, did you deserve every good thing the Lord did for you? There's your answer right there. Number 7. As generosity grows and increases, now I'm talking about the generosity the Lord works in us as his children and in response to his generosity, so do the blessings. Now, I'm not one of those that's going to get up here and say, now you put $500 in the offering plate today, and next week, you're going to go to the mailbox and you're going to have a check for $5,000 from an unexpected source. I'm not one of those. And I don't believe that everything is always returned in the same form that it was given. Maybe I gave money and maybe the Lord blessed me with friendship or with health or with spiritual blessings. But the point is, in the big picture, within God's framework, within his time, within his determination, the point is we never lose by being generous, because the more generosity increases, so do the blessings. And that is a law. That is a law of God's word, and God's laws always work. When you plant 12 kernels of corn, do you get 12 kernels of corn? No, you don't. You get 12 what? Stalks that produce several ears. And how many kernels of corn are on each of those ears? So the more generosity increases, the more the blessings increase. You say, well, that didn't seem what happened to me. It's like I gave more, and all of a sudden I'm having harder times than I've ever had. Well, let's go back and say it again. All the blessings that come back aren't, number one, right then. How about heaven? Does that count? Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves what? Treasures in heaven. Who said that? Jesus said that. Where moth and rust do not corrupt, thieves do not break it through and steal, and it doesn't lose half of its value when the stock market crashes. But it may come back a totally different way. But I'll tell you what. You've heard people say, it's almost cliche, you can't outgive God, how true. So be generous. Give, and it will be given you. I'm reading from Luke 6:38. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. How many believe that what goes around comes around? That works both in positive and negative. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. How about that? For with the measure you use, you set the agenda. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Is wealth uncertain? That, you know, down here, it can be here today and what? Gone tomorrow. But put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Hallelujah. Now, this may not happen to anybody here, but I wrote this. The Lord gave it to me, so I wrote it. Do you ever feel needy? Dissatisfied, shortchanged, disappointed, neglected, abandoned, forgotten, overlooked, ignored, tired and weak, depleted, exhausted, overworked, inadequate, discouraged, irrelevant, of little worth, like you're spinning your wheels and not getting very far. Like a whole lot of life is futile. Let me tell you about God's grace. It's free. It's abundant. It is available. It is reliable. It is continuous and never ending. It is never changing, and it is inexhaustible. It never diminishes or fluctuates. It has no ebb and flow, and it never runs out or becomes depleted. It is not given reluctantly or sparingly, and it is dispensed freely, totally independent of personal worthiness or status. Whatever your situation today, my God stands ready to bless you as you have never been blessed, and to cause you to experience His grace in measures and in ways you have never imagined or experienced. My God is a generous God, and the Bible says that my God loves to give good gifts to His children. If you're His child, He loves you. He doesn't love you more than He loves me, and He doesn't love you less than He loves me. He loves us equally, and He stands ready to dispense His grace equally. But there are a few things you and I need to do. We need to stop our grumbling and complaining. We need to stop doubting. We need to stop playing the blame game. And we need to get rid of our "oh, woe is me" attitude. We need to stop focusing on what we don't have or what someone else has that we wish we had. It could be looks, personality, a car, a relationship, or a certain brand of tennis shoe. And we need to develop an attitude of praise and thanksgiving and vocally thank the Lord every day for His blessings and be as generous to others as we can be, even if we don't have much. Let me tell you something. Somebody that has a whole lot of this earth's good and is stingy are poor, 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 miserable, and wretched. And anybody that has almost nothing and loves the Lord and thanks Him every day and gives in spite of their poverty is rich beyond belief. And we need to ask expectantly in faith, immersing ourselves in the promises of God, the grace of God, and the faithfulness of God. I'll tell you what. You do this for 30 days and then tell me how you feel. Even if you don't have a bit more of this world's goods than you did 30 days earlier, at least you will have developed a thankful heart and begun to experience God's grace as never before. And that, my friends, is a net gain any way you cut it. They used to play a song over HCJB radio when I was a kid. We had to get shortwave in order to get English religious broadcasting. And this song was played very often over HCJB. It was written by Annie Flint. If you want to know about her, Google her name. There's plenty about her. I would sing it, but I don't think I can. But we will read the words. And they're on the back of your backpack slip. But let the words of this song speak to you. Sometimes we hear a song, we get all hung up on the performance or on the voice or on whatever. Just let it speak to you. There's somebody here that needs this. And I don't know who it is, but it's right here. This lady didn't have anything, okay, of this world's goods. But God used her to write many such things in her lifetime, and through that even helped provide for her. She was confined to a wheelchair most of her adult life. He giveth more grace as our burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as the labors increase. To added afflictions, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, He multiplies peace. And the Course says, His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power, no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. I like this second verse. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. Fear not that thy need shall exceed His provision. Our God ever yearns His resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting, availing. The Father both thee and thy load will upbear. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite, you know what that word means, don't you? Infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Jesus said to the disciples the night before He was crucified, and we're going to have communion here in a couple minutes, He said, up until now you have asked nothing in My name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that thy joy may be complete. Because he's getting ready to go to the cross. And the throne of grace is getting ready to be opened. Do you realize we have an unlimited access that was never possible before? And that is why now when we come in the name of Jesus, the grace store, not the Awana store, the grace store is open. And faith and obedience is all he asks in return. But his grace is without measure. And his blessings, just the same. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you today. How stingy we are sometimes. And how quick to doubt your provision. But Father, we come today. And yes, sometimes we are needy. And sometimes we are lonely. And sometimes we are forgotten. But not by you. Maybe by the world. Maybe by other people. But not by you. Let us know today how much you love us. We're your children. We're not almost your children. We're entirely your children because we've come through the blood. We've come through the blood of the Son, and because of that, we're your children. And if we're children, we're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You say in your word, you tell us that if you did not spare your Son, but allowed him to go to the cross for us when we were unworthy and sinners and all of that. How will you not now that you have cleansed us and justified us freely give us all things along with him? Father, we praise your name today. We thank you for your provision, not just of grace that saves. Oh, that's the main thing, and that's enough, really. But somehow you choose to bless us in other ways as well. Let our hearts be open, both to receive everything you have for us and not reject it through doubt or unbelief or feelings of unworthiness. But let our hearts equally be open to give as you have given. Thank you, Father. Thank you for giving us all good things. Through Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.